Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the ninth para was recited, where half the para is the completion of Suratul Araf, more than half, three quarter of the para is the completion of Suratul Araf, and a quarter of Suratul Anfal was also recited. In the latter part of the eighth para, which was recited before the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salam and their respective nations was mentioned, and this continues for more than half of the ninth para. Previously it was mentioned that the mention of the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimu salam and their respective nations, the purpose of this is that to give an indication and warning to this ummah and to others of the grave consequences which could face them if they refuse to accept the message of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The previous Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, they conveyed the message to their respective nations, but because of their obstinacy and because of their stubbornness, they refused to accept, and with the result, they invited the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to descend upon them. So many Anbiya alayhimu salam's incidents were already mentioned, and the last incident mentioned towards the end of the eighth para, which continues in the first ruku of the ninth para, is the incident of the nation of Shu'ib alayhi salam. Shu'ib alayhi salam, his nation, besides being involved in shirk, they also were involved in the great sin of cheating with regards to weight and measure. Besides other sins which they were involved in, Shu'ib alayhi salam warned them and informed them of their wrongs, but they refused to mend their ways, and was the result that they even threatened Shu'ib alayhi salam and his followers that they will be expelled from the town if they don't return to their to the deen which they were following, that is idol worshipping. With the result, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment came down upon them in the form of an earthquake, and as mentioned elsewhere, the punishment of Yawm al-Dhulla also afflicted them. The Yawm al-Dhulla means the day of the shade, which refers to that because of extreme heat, people became very uncomfortable, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then sent a cloud, and under the cloud there was cool winds, people gathered under there thinking that it is a source of comfort for them, but in reality then Allah Ta'ala sent down from those clouds fire and stones through which they were then destroyed. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that many of the Anbiya alayhimu salam who were sent to their respective nations and who refused to accept the message, Allah Ta'ala says, أَخَذْنَا أَهْلَهَا بِالْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّ. Then we afflicted those nations with difficulties and calamities, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَضَّرَّعُونَ, perhaps so that they can turn humble. When a person becomes humble because of difficulties with which he is faced with, he is normally more receptive to listen and accept the truth. And this was a way which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is why Allah ta'ala afflicted them with these types of difficulties and calamities. So from this we understand that many a time it is a blessing in disguise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side upon us when we are afflicted with difficulties and calamities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to shake us up and bring us onto the right path. So, difficulties and calamities are actually the effect of our own evil deeds and sins, but it is also a blessing in the way that perhaps through that a person turns humble and then amends his ways and corrects his ways. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that even after these different type of calamities and hardships, if the people still did not turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah Ta'ala says, لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that we open for them the doors of barakat from the skies and the earth. In other words, we granted them great prosperity in the form of good health, in the form of abundant wealth, in the form of abundant children and offspring. Perhaps they might turn to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala now in gratitude. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person with great blessings, and the objective is that he can then, out of gratitude, turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet, these people then, they did not take heed, and they still rejected the truth, and then they were afflicted with the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that these conditions which we afflict the people with, but these people, they take these different conditions which they experience to be natural phenomena, and they don't take heed that these changing of conditions is actually from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side to make us realize what is the wrong which we are in, and so that we can turn to Allah ta'ala. So they used to say when they used to experience these conditions, قَدْ مَسَّ آبَاءَنَا الضَّرَّاءُ وَالصَّرَّاءُ, that our forefathers also experienced conditions of adversity and conditions of prosperity. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that since they did not take heed, فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً, then we seized them suddenly with punishment in a condition that they did not even perceive what is happening. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the third ruku onwards mentions in great detail the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his encounters with Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun, and also his encounters with his own people, that is the Banu Israel. Musa alayhi salam's incident with his nation, the Bani Israel, and his encounters with Fir'aun are mentioned throughout the Quran Majid at different intervals, at different aspects of his incident. Since the Quran Majid is not a kitab to just record historical facts, but the object of mentioning these incidents is that we take heed, and that is why the incidents of the Anbiya alayhimus salam are not mentioned in their entirety wherever they are mentioned. Only selected and relevant portions of the incidents are mentioned, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to emphasize some lesson or some moral, that only those portions are mentioned. Musa alayhi salam's incident is mentioned practically in all the paras of the Quran Majid, and selected portions are mentioned. But here in great detail, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about half of the para, Allah ta'ala then mentions about the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his people. Musa alayhi salam and the Bani Israel were enslaved, and they were subjected to different forms of persecution by Fir'aun and his people. And Musa alayhi salam wished to deliver and free his people from the bondage which they were in under Fir'aun and under the people of Fir'aun. But Fir'aun and his people would not allow the Bani Israel to leave Egypt and go to their original homeland, the Ardi Muqaddasa, and Musa alayhi salam wanted to free them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam, who was blessed with Nabuwat, to remind Fir'aun and give him the message of Haqq, but Fir'aun refused to respond and accept the message of Haqq, despite Musa alayhi salam from Allah ta'ala's side being given miracles to show the truthfulness of his Nabuwat, particularly the miracle of the staff which turned into a snake and a serpent, and the miracle of the shining hand. But Fir'aun, he regarded this to be acts of black magic, and he brushed it off and he refused to accept the message of Musa alayhi salam. The encounter of Musa alayhi salam with the magicians is also mentioned in detail here, and when the magicians they realize that what Musa alayhi salam is showing them is not magic, in fact it is that he is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what he is showing us is a miracle, a mu'jizah. All of them accepted Iman, and despite Fir'aun's great threats that he will now chop their hands and feet off in opposite directions, but still they did not yield, and they refused to renounce the Iman which they had already accepted, and they remained firm on their Iman. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions again of Musa alayhi salam's encounters with Fir'aun. And when Fir'aun and the people of Fir'aun did not accept the message of Haqq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind them also afflicted them with conditions of adversity, that they were afflicted with floods, and they were afflicted with locusts, that so much locusts came that they devoured all their fruits and their plantations, and they were afflicted with lice and louses and ticks, which now affected their stored grain and also made their life a very uncomfortable and a misery. And they were afflicted with the plague of frogs everywhere. It was frogs were infested in their homes, and also the calamity of blood, that whatever they used to want to drink, water or whatever else, used to immediately turn to blood, with the result that these people became very perplexed. Whenever any of these calamities came onto the people of Fir'aun, they went to Fir'aun and they went to Musa alayhi salam, and they pleaded their case that please make dua for us, that Allah Ta'ala must remove this calamity for us. And they then pledged that they will then accept the message of Musa alayhi salam and they will bring iman. But Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا كَشَفْنَا عَنْهُمُ الرِّجْزَ إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ هُمْ بَالِغُوهُ إِذَا هُمْ يَنْكُثُونَ. Whenever that calamity which befell them was removed, but they did not fulfill their promises, and they turned their backs to what they had said and refused to accept the message. Then Musa alayhi salam, together with the Bani Israel, then overnight they decided to leave Egypt, and they went, and Fir'aun and his army started pursuing them. And we all know the incident that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then opened up the waters of the river, the Red Sea, and the Bani Israel and Musa alayhi salam were able to cross safely through there. And when Fir'aun and his army decided to pursue them in those pathways which were made in the waters, but Allah Ta'ala then ordered the waters to close up, and all of them were drowned, and Fir'aun and his army were all destroyed. That incident is also mentioned in detail here. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the Bani Israel had gained deliverance and freedom from the bondage of Fir'aun and his people, then the Bani Israel, they requested Musa alayhi salam that they want a code of guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can now live their lives according to the Allah Ta'ala's commands. On that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called Musa alayhi salam to the Mount Sina, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him for a period of 30 days, which was extended by another 10, a period of 40 days. And there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Torah to Musa alayhi salam, which was a code of guidance for the Bani Israel. And at that time, Musa alayhi salam also had the great honor of speaking directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That incident is also mentioned here. However, in the absence of Musa alayhi salam, his people, the Bani Israel, they got involved in calf worshipping and cow worshipping. And on his return, Musa alayhi salam was very agitated, but he told them, "What are you doing?" And that incident is also mentioned here, and how Musa alayhi salam then reprimanded them on them. In his absence, they started worshipping the calf. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again mentions the great bounties which Allah ta'ala blessed the Bani Israel with, but on the other hand, the great ingratitude which the people of the Bani Israel had displayed, and also their rebellious nature, and how they refused to accept the laws which they had asked for to be revealed. But they turned away from their word, and they did not follow the laws which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed for them in the Torah. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also afflicted them with different difficult conditions. All that is also mentioned. Particular incident mentioned here is the incident that Allah Ta'ala had ordered them to honor the Sabbath, that is the Saturday, and to honor that day, and particular instructions were given that they should not fish on that day. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to test them, on Saturday, there used to be abundant fish in the water, which used to be now visible from the surface also. But they were forbidden from fishing on Saturday. So because of their rebellious nature, they devised a scheme whereby they will catch the fish, but they won't be actually fishing on the day of Saturday. They threw their rods and their nets on Friday. And on Saturday, when there were abundant fish in the water, the fish used to get caught up in those nets. And on Sunday, then they used to then take out those nets with the fish which were caught in there. In that way, they made a mockery of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that concerning those who perpetrated this great evil and this way, and they devised this way to make a mockery of the commandment of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala told them, "Kunu qiradatan khasi'in." That become the despicable and become humiliated monkeys, and they were turned into monkeys. They lived for 3 days and they all died then. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions, further on again, many of the malpractices of the Bani Israel with regards to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As was mentioned previously also, Allah ta'ala even lifted the Mount Tur over their heads when they refused to fulfill the commandments of Allah ta'ala and told them, accept what had been sent for you, and or else this mountain will come down on you and you will then be crushed. Allah Ta'ala then mentions the incident of a person by the name of Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, who was mustajabud da'wat, a person whose du'as are readily accepted. When Musa alayhi salam was ordered by Allah Ta'ala that together with the Bani Israel they should go to Ard-e Muqaddasa, the blessed land, and fight and go for jihad and conquer that area because that is your actual homeland. But the Bani Israel, they said that residing in the Ard-e Muqaddasa are those people who are called Jabbarin, that they regarded them to be a powerful nation, and we don't have any courage to go and fight them. And you should now go and with Allah Ta'ala yourselves and go and fight against them. On the other hand, the Jabbarin, they heard that the Bani Israel are coming to fight against us, and they also started getting worried. They knew Musa alayhi salam to be a Nabi, and they knew how Fir'aun and his people were drowned when they tried to pursue the Bani Israel and Musa alayhi salam. So they went to this person, Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, and told him to make bad-du'a for Musa alayhi salam. And Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, he immediately refused and said, how can you expect me to make bad-du'a against the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala? I myself will be destroyed. But they insisted and persisted, so he said, okay, I'll make istikhara. I'll ask Allah Ta'ala for guidance. In his istikhara, he was again informed that never do so, because this is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you make bad-du'a against him? But these people did not leave Bal'am ibn Ba'ura. Then they came with great valuable gifts, and they presented those gifts, which was actually a type of bribery, that no, because of that now, accede to our demand and make the bad-du'a. He started inclining towards the worldly gifts which were now being presented to him, and on the insistence of his wife also, then he started making bad-du'a. But Allah Ta'ala shan, that whenever he is tried to make bad-du'a against Musa alayhi salam, but the words of his own nation, of the people, the Jabbarin, they were coming out, bad-du'a was coming out for them. They made a big uproar that we told you to make bad-du'a for Musa alayhi salam, and you are making bad-du'a for us. How is that? And then he said that it is out of my control. I want to say bad-du'a, words of bad-du'a for Musa alayhi salam and his people, but words of yourselves, Jabbarin, are coming out, and this is beyond my control. His punishment was that Allah Ta'ala says, فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ الْكَلْبِ. His example is that of a dog. A dog, even if he is sitting down, but yet he is panting and his tongue is completely out of its mouth. This was the punishment which Bal'am ibn Ba'ura was afflicted with, that his tongue came out of his mouth to such an extent that it started dangling and hanging right up to his chest. That incident is also mentioned here, that for a few coppers of the world, Bal'am ibn Ba'ura, he basically sold his iman. Then Allah Ta'ala then mentions, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدُعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah Ta'ala has beautiful names. Call to Allah Ta'ala with those names. The mushrikeen, they had objections that you are stopping us from shirk, but yet you are now calling out to Rahman and Rahim, which are all the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if now they are different gods, whereas Allah ta'ala is one, and these are only his attributes, they are not, Allah ta'ala doesn't have any partner. Anyway, the great significance of Asma'ul Husna are mentioned in the ahadith. Those who read them and memorize them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises that that person will be granted Jannah. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then makes mention of many other aspects of the incident of Musa alayhi salam and his nation. And towards the end of the para, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions that Allah ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to uphold the excellent qualities of morality and of kindness. Allah Ta'ala says, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, that adopt the condition of overlooking and forgiving and enjoin the good. In other words, command the people to do good and ignore those who are the ignorant people. Do not bother about them and all their objections. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also mentions that if you are afflicted with an instigation from shaitan, a whisper from shaitan, then seek the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we are afflicted with any wrong thoughts, immediately read ta'awudh, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. This prescription has been mentioned here, inshallah, that a whisper and instigation of shaitan will not affect us. Some etiquettes concerning the Qur'an Majeed are also mentioned here. وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ, and when the Qur'an is recited, then listen attentively and keep silent. This is the right of the Qur'an Majeed, that whenever it is recited, a person should not regard it to be something which is now trivial, but listen attentively and keep quiet. Unfortunately, today, people now use the recitation of the Qur'an Majeed over the airways when they hear it, but still they carry on with their normal tasks, and many a time in the restaurants and also in the marketplaces, the Qur'an Majeed is now being recited over the radio or over the tape recorder or whatever, and yet people are completely doing their other work. This is against the respect and honor of the Qur'an Majeed. From this ayat, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has also deduced the mas'ala that behind the imam, the muqtadis should not recite, because the imam's recitation, when he recites, we should listen attentively and keep silent. So a muqtadi is not allowed to recite the Qur'an Majeed behind the imam. This mas'ala has been taken out from this verse, besides the many other proofs of Shariat. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi has taken out the mas'ala from here. The next surah is Suratul Anfal, which is a Madani surah. Anfal refers to the spoils of war, the booty which is acquired at the time of jihad. Anfal, according to the dictionary, means extra, which indicates that the booty which is acquired at the time of jihad is not the objective of jihad. Just like when we say nafal salat, nafal fasting, which means it is besides and over and above that which has been prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is optional. So here also the objective of jihad is not to acquire the booty and the spoils of war. The objective of jihad is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to see to it that the word of Allah ta'ala reigns supreme over all other religions and all other words. So the spoils of war are not something which is the actual objective at the time of jihad. In the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention particularly about the battle of Badr, which was the first confrontation between Islam and Kufr, and it is also called Yawmul Furqan, the day of distinction, where a clear distinction between Iman and Kufr was made, and the laws concerning the booty, etc., are mentioned particularly in the surah. Since the battle of Badr was the first battle, and when the Muslims gained a stunning victory and also acquired the booty, the spoils of war, there was a bit of confusion amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that who is entitled to get the booty. Some Sahaba radiallahu anhum were of the opinion that those who actively participated in the actual fighting, only they are entitled, not the others, although they were part of the army, but did not actively participate in the fighting. They are not entitled. Whereas the others who are not actively participating, they say, we also got a right in the booty because we stood as support for you. If there was any problem, we would have come to your aid and we were there. Allah Ta'ala makes the decision that the spoils of a war are for Allah Ta'ala and for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which means that only what Allah Ta'ala decrees, that will now be executed and followed by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first booty which was acquired at the time of Badr, it was left to the discretion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that how it must be distributed. Normally the booty, only those who are part of the army, although they might not have actively participated in the actual fighting, but they are also entitled to the booty. Anyway, the rules concerning that are mentioned. Allah Ta'ala says, أَطِيعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Obey Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul if you are true mu'mineen. And the mu'mineen, their qualities are mentioned here. إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ. When they are reminded of Allah Ta'ala, their hearts tremble. And when the verses of Allah Ta'ala are recited to them, their iman increases. And they have full trust upon Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And they establish the salat, they read their salat correctly. And from that which Allah Ta'ala had granted them, they spend. Allah Ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّ. These are truly those who are with the quality of iman. For them are high levels and stages by Allah Ta'ala and forgiveness and also a bountiful sustenance from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's side. Further on, Allah Ta'ala makes mention again of the Battle of Badr and how Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then sent down the aid for the Muslims in the form of the angels which came down to assist the Muslims, and then the Muslims were granted a victory over the Kuffar. The whole incident is mentioned here in quite some detail. Allah Ta'ala thereafter then mentions, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, in tattaqullaha yaj'al lakum furqanan. That, O believers, if you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have the quality of taqwa within yourself, يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. Allah Ta'ala will make for you a criterion. Allah will give you that ability to differentiate between what is haqq and what is batil, what is truth and what is falsehood. That is one of the great benefits of taqwa, that Allah Ta'ala will give the person that wisdom and insight where he can distinguish between right and wrong. Further, benefit of taqwa, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you your sin, will expiate for you your sins and forgive you. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is one who is with great fadl and grace upon the believers. Further on, towards the end of the surah, end of the para, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala then again mentions the difference and the distinction between good and bad and virtue and vice. Allah Ta'ala says, لِيَمِيزَ اللَّهُ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ وَيَجْعَلَ الْخَبِيثَ بَعْضَهُ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. That this time of battle of Badr and all other battles which the Muslim had gone out for, from there a distinction is made that who is true on iman and who is not. The munafiqeen and the hypocrites, they always look for excuses not to participate in the battle, and through that the nifaq and the hypocrisy and the evil became manifest.